see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling and the pound, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that'll wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight, and I'm glad you all came by. We got a nice group tonight. Thank you all for dropping by this evening on this Wednesday, the 8th of April, 2015, and you are welcome. Family, tonight I may cover, I'm going to cover a surprise maybe. I may not be expecting it. I'm going to talk tonight about replacement theology and dominionism and a few other issues that are coming up. And this still brings in, actually, that one preacher named Stephen Anderson. See, he teaches replacement theology as a Baptist minister. And he uses a King James Bible. And he teaches to kill. He teaches to kill homosexuals. And he also said to kill, that Obama should die. I mean, these people are Jesuits. They're not stupid. They're Jesuits. Trained to make Christians look bad. And he specifically taught and trained to use the King James Bible. So that is associated with those nutty ranting and ravings that homosexuals should be killed. Now, if he was a 21-year-old, off-the-street preacher, I could understand. But a responsible adult teaching just nonsense like this out of Leviticus and completely ignoring the New Testament teachings that Jesus said is beyond asinine and ignorance. Knowing that they're not stupid tells me that this is a planned, orchestrated agenda Not just someone deceived. No one, no, that's not deception. At all. This is planned. Severe. Severe planning and Jesuit training. Replacement theology is what he teaches, which is a Roman Catholic doctrine. Interesting. So that's what popped in my head to teach tonight, to talk about, because it's coming in the future. The fake Israel today is Israel. They don't even speak Hebrew. That's where the Yahweh, not Jehovah, Yahweh comes in. The Tetragrammaton. They've changed the Jewish language. That's why it says in the Bible, very astutely, they're going to go back to the old language Hebrew. So wait a minute. We've got to watch these little innuendos in the Bible, little things that mean a lot. Go back to, why would it have to go back to if it'd been speaking it all along? What do you mean go back to the original language? The original tongue? Why would that be necessary if the Jews have been speaking the same all along? How about that? No, because they changed it. Changed the heretical Judaism, the Talmud, the Torah. See, one half of the Torah, yes, is the Masoretic text. The Old Testament is one half of the Torah. Absolutely. That's where it ends. No more the Torah is God-inspired, but satanically inspired. They only have two sources. Either inspired by God or inspired by Satan. You don't have number three choice. So that's a safe assumption right there. Tell me a third one. Can someone tell me a third one? If they are, just send me an email and let me know. That there's a third entity group out there that's beyond God, beyond Satan. I'm just loving to hear about it. You'll be the first. You'll get the Nobel Peace Prize. Because to date, in the history of mankind, there's never been a third party involved except Satan and God. And Satan controls the fallen angels. Matter of fact, he's got them at odds with each other to make sure that there's always conflict. So being I'm talking to a Bible study group tonight, you can understand. I can go a step further with the supernatural part. TalkStream Live is kind of difficult because you got a mixed bag of politicians and militia and I don't know who else, whatever. Here we're into supernatural. So, I almost hit the wrong button. Whoa. That was close. Now, I will dedicate the broadcast and talk about two issues that are connected, but they're going to seem to be disconnected. Something I found a little while ago, and I'll talk about this more detail this week, probably Friday. My first thing I'm going to talk about, and then replacement theology, the second I'm going to talk about tonight. Lord, tonight we come before you in prayer. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, Father. Father, we need that Holy Spirit, Lord, down upon us. We see changes coming. And Lord, we see them coming fast. Father, we see Satan trying to hold us back. That, Lord, he's trying to interfere with what we do. And he's trying to technologically and in the families and in our work and in our placement to try to keep us distracted, all of us, from our studies, because that means that something's coming. The more interruptions we get, the more distractions, the more negative interference we get, that, Father, we know that that's Satan. For I need the Holy Spirit to come to us, to protect us. And Lord, that those angels, protective angels, and to pray on the full armor of God, Lord, to teach us that. and those, Lord, that don't know, to bring that covering for their families. And Lord, to pray on that shield of faith. To teach, Lord, us how to put on that shield of faith on our arms and pray on the belt of truth around our waist and the breastplate of righteousness. Protect us from the inside, spiritually and physically. Guard in our heart. Praying on the gospel shoes of peace. We walk in your good news to spread it. And to pray on the helm of salvation. Protect our minds from the thoughts that lead us astray. This one, Lord, seems to be, from the supernatural and technologically, the main attack today. And then the physical attack going on in all kinds of different ways. But Lord, to give us that sword of the Spirit in our heart, and when we have it in our hands, to speak it out, which is the Word of God. That's in the King James Bible. Father, we need that help. We pray that upon our families too, the help that we need. That the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will come to us, will come to them. Divine appointments for others. These things we pray tonight to lead us in this Bible study. All these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I forgot last night. Sorry I didn't close in prayer. I said I was going to. Had my mind going to, and my mind was just fogged out, man. It was out. And before I knew it, I had the song playing. It was over. And I said, whoa. Somebody reminded me, and I said, oh, my gosh. I don't think, you know, a lot of what comes out of my mouth in these broadcasts and Bible studies are never scripted. They just come off the top of my head, and then I put things together as I go along. It's kind of always been that way. And so it drains a lot, I'll tell you that. And then I have other situations going on that is also draining of things. And so for me, it's a daily battle. And I imagine everybody else has got their own things going on. But you got to hang in there. It is going to get tougher, and it's going to get serious. Right now we can, you know, sit here on the radio and go to these websites and, ooh, ah, wow, did you hear what's happened out west? Oh, did you see this? Did you see that? We had a black helicopter fly over our house yesterday. And blah, 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 all that stuff. I mean, no, I didn't, but I'm using it as scenarios. But there's a time coming that all that's going to cease, and it's going to get real. And people are going to start dying, getting shot, and all kinds of things going on that Americans have never seen before. Maybe in some of the crime-ridden places, it's normal. But out in 9% la-la land and the prom and the graduation's coming up, and we're going to watch TV, and we're going to play football or basketball and wrestle, whatever, I don't know what. That's all going to change. And the routine of Americans is going to be real. Right now, it's in fantasy land. They have no idea what's coming. What's going to hit them hard. I know tonight, after the broadcast, if I want to, 9:15, I can drop my little old butt down to the Winn-Dixie or the food line and just get me in. Just walk in and buy food anywhere I want to go. Buy me some ice cream on the way and eat it while I'm in the hallways and pay for it when I leave. And, oh, what a fun time. And then I go get me a cup of coffee somewhere, and I pick my clothes and my groceries and put them away, and then tomorrow I can do the same thing, won't do. There's coming a time when that's not going to happen. Get ready for it. When I say get ready for it, I'm talking spiritually, really. Well, I know. They say get your food and freeze-dried food and ammunition and all this and all that and get your cars all filled up with gas and your bug-out bag and all this. Where are you going to go, actually? You know, anyway, all this stuff. But you're going to run out of food. You're going to run out of ammo. You're going to run out of places to go. What they don't realize, even if you're a SEAL, it don't matter. What they're going to realize is it's going to come down to spiritual. Every single time. In every single case. No matter who. You're going to run out of food. You're going to run out of ammo. And you're going to run out of enough people to help you fight. If you're into that, whatever going on. You see? God's going to let it happen too. Judgment will come upon these United States. It's going to happen. We've turned our back on him long enough, and so is Israel. Israel's going to get slammed. There's going to be a period of peace. United States, oh yeah, finally. United States, we have to go down to bring the Antichrist in. It has to happen. I wish it'd delay a whole generation, but family, you got to be ready for it any time. That's not a negative thing. It's just reality. And it could take a generation. Who knows? God may say, okay, I'm going to let it go on. It's not up to them. It's not some four blood moons or some festival or some, you know, whatever. It's not, God don't base it on that. He bases it on who's the last one that's going to accept him as a Savior. Jesus is Savior. And he knows which one it is, who it is. And when the falling away happens, in God's time, man, it's on. It's God's business. Only he knows. He knows when the gospel spread in the four corners of the world. The country turns away from God. What happened to Israel? Every stone was taken down piece by piece. People keep forgetting about that. That's his beloved city. They took it down where no stone was even left standing. So what makes us immune to that? Not a doggone thing. What was interesting, I was reading how they're setting up the disclosure. Now, look up disclosure for your own edification of the announcement of extraterrestrial life and made public view. Made public. Joe Blow, down the street, will hear about it and see it on TV. And might even see UFOs and holograms. They'll get the Baptist attention, I guarantee it. When they shut down the ATMs from disclosure, that's definitely got everybody's attention. You shut down the ATMs and the internet for a short period of time, you have got their attention. You could probably blow up another building in New York City or Chicago. That'll last for a while, but you turn off the ATM, you take down the internet, you've got their attention. Wholeheartedly. Businesses will shut down, ATMs, no money, and internet, the kids will go crazy. Now they'll be out in the street for sure. They determined that in Arab Spring. That's exactly what they did. It turned off the internet, it was out in the streets. That's what Y2K was all about, by the way. They know what they're doing. So I was looking a little while ago . I find this absolutely fascinating, what I'm going to tell you. Now there's one, two, or three people out there right now that's listening, I think. There's also going to find this amazing, because I've shared what I know about what I'm getting ready to tell you intimately with some close friends. In the book Science of Christ by Herb Balliaz is an Illuminati textbook. So they got to put their textbooks out in the public view. Only trick is 99% of people don't even know what's an Illuminati textbook, what's not. So they really don't buy them. But they got to make them available to their own people through bookstores. So you got to know how to find them. Atlas Shrugged, Morals and Dogma, Tragedy and Hope, Signs of Christ by Harold Belliaz. Different ones. All Illuminati textbooks, by the way. Now, in Signs of Christ by Harold Belliaz, they give you dates that they plan. They have to readjust these dates according to the progress they've made over the centuries. At the Wesak Festival, I'll be breaking that down probably next week. I'm going to tear into that next week. I'm going to expose it 2 or 3 times next week. Nobody ever touches a Wesak Festival. I'm going to pray against it, expose it for what it really is, and whatever else I can do to tick them off and cause them trouble. Well, in the hierarchy of the Signs of Christ, Alice Bailey talks about the externalization of the hierarchy. Externalization of the hierarchy, to externalize the hierarchy, is to bring the fallen angels into public view. They've been preparing this with Superman, comic books, TV, movies, superheroes, and you know what? You can be like them. But you have to be here for the fifth dimension turnaround of the evolution of mankind and Nexus and blah, 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 blah. Don't you want to be like them? The Freemasons actually believe this. They believe that each degree they get higher, they put their bodies between the columns of Boaz and Jachin in their initiations, and they say each degree they get closer to godhood. Yeah, you Freemasons do that. Did you know that your daddy, who's a Freemason, wants to be a god? Yeah. I guess he means ride a cloud, too. That's exactly what they do. It's exactly what they're told. That their frequencies are changed, modified, adjusted each degree they get between the two towers of Boaz and Jachin and the checkerboard floor thing and all this other alchemy things going on. That they're adjusting their frequency. And by the time they get 33rd degree, they're getting ready now to become as gods. Did y'all know that? It's true. Well, non-Masons, the New Agers, they have other thing called petals. And flower petals, things, degrees, whatever, they're told they invoke this and devoke that and meditation, and I guess smoke dope, I don't know what. Anyway, they say each degree, each thing they do gets them closer to godhood. So they see these demons that they don't even think they're demons, they think they're ascended masters, that tell them, we were once like you, don't you want to be like us? They manifest. What they don't tell them is they manifest by the negative energy of the death they cause, gives them power, and gives them body structure. The fallen angels. They don't tell them that. Okay, here's my point. They have deadlines and dates. And the deadlines and dates are based on holidays. Now, these tetrads, the four blood moons, that's got some significance to it. It's got no biblical significance whatsoever. That's why Hagee and Bliss are a bunch of bononas anyway. And they are Freemasons and they are liars. Absolutely true. But the tetrads, there is significance to it, though. Because the full moon, which is against the Bible, to go things on full moon, on any holiday, Sabbath, or full moons, the Bible says not to judge anyone on full moon, holiday, or Sabbath, or any meat. You can't judge people on that. It says specifically moon, full moon. That's occult nonsense. But the truth about it from the alchemical alchemy point of view is it has an effect of the energy of the universe, a veil that between the second heaven and the first heaven. Earth is the first heaven, the physical realm, and the second heaven is a known universe where the fallen angels reside in a supernatural form. So when there's a rift there created by nature, positioning of the constellations, the stars, and all that, that's what the almanac's all about. So they can identify when to sacrifice, when to kill, so they can absorb that negative energy. That's why April 19th is a major kill day, because it leads them into the Wesak Festival for manifestation, where their supernatural bodies can achieve physical structure through the death of others. And energy, okay, anyway. Well, this tetrad has a lot to do with that. Not the Bible, but in alchemy it does. Yes, it does. That's why the year 2012 was very important to them. And 2015, to do their rituals, to be able to achieve physical structure. Okay? So once their final period will be the year. Well, actually, watch this. I'll read it to you word for word. Quote, thus a great and new movement is proceeding and tremendously increased interplay, interactions taking place now. Now, this is written in 1977. This will go on until A.D. 2025. Now, family, this coincides with the death of our grandmothers, baby boomers, and the death of our parents by the year 2025. And by this time, by reducing the age of the baby boomers, you've got baby boomers will be dead by then also. That was the purpose of accelerating the death process of baby boomers before the year 2025. Because Alice Bailey predicts set up the externalization of the hierarchy to bring all the 200 fallen angels into this realm. Quote, during the years intervening between now and then, very great changes, this is written in 1977 now, very great changes will be seen taking place at the great assembly of the hierarchy, fallen angels, held as usual every century in, I quote, the year 2025, the date in all probability will be set for the first stage of externalization of the hierarchy. Quote, the present cycle from now until that date, that's from 1977 till 2025, the present cycle is called technically, quote, the stage of the forerunner, unquote. You can see, therefore, the Chohans, that's their leaders, masters, initiates, world disciples, disciples and aspirants, affiliated with the hierarchy, are all at this time passing with the cycle of the great activity, unquote. Well, they got away with words, don't they? They talk about frequency, vibration. Now, that being said, look at here what I found. Well, you can't look at here. You got to listen. Listen here what I found about half an hour ago. Quote the title, Signs of Alien Life Will Be Found by 2025 A.D., NASA's chief scientist predicts, unquote. So, Family, there you go. There you go. It's all set up. They're preparing for the year 2025. And right here it's documented. Family, I can guarantee you Satan will be on your backs until the time this happens. In all kinds of ways to shut you up, quiet you down, interrupt. It will happen from now on like you have never seen before. And this thing gives you dates, 2022, 2018. Talks about all that. They're preparing, family, they're preparing for the externalization of the hierarchy. Now, I'm just barely scratching the surface. I got a whole dialogue to talk about, and I call it I've been holding back on this for about 2 months. Wasn't time to talk about it, but I think now it's time. And when I get to talking about it, it's called the Superman concept. I'm going to unleash it, unload it. And it'll be referenced to what I'm talking about now, but a whole lot more detail. So I found that very, very interesting that they give now the date of when alien life will be found on the very date, the very year that they predicted, 1977, for the externalization of the hierarchy of the fallen angels. So those that I've talked to about before, that your mouth should be dropped to the floor and like, whoa. You can't get more slam dunk than that. But then there's a slight little problem they have. Yeah, getting by God, because that ain't going to happen. If God allows it, maybe. But we have to be able to be turned away from God. That means America will have changed their laws. I doubt will it be even existing then. But the laws will have been changed. The millennials will be adults and probably fathers, grandfathers by then, fathers. The children will be, oh yeah, child euthanasia? Ah, no problem. Kill your old daddy and mama because they're disabled? Well, sure, why not? I mean, they're miserable anyway. Fornication. Abortion legalized. Drugs. Got your own bong underneath your chin, wearing it like an electronic cigarette. And then all hell's going to break loose. It's called the tribulations. And it's God's time. And these people have no idea what's coming. In the meantime, replacement theology. This is what it's taught by the Catholic Church and Stephen Anderson and all the rest. And what it is, replacement theology, it's also known as supersessionism. Don't you just love it when you got dominionism, dispensationalism, how they so edify the Bible with their scholarly terms and King James Bible is just straight out, man. He just tells you right there. But here they try to intellectualize the Bible, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans. But this teaches that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan. All these big words for the very simple premise that essentially teaches that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan. That the church is going to be the new Jerusalem. That adherents of replacement theology, they believe that the Jews are no longer God's chosen people. God does not have a specific future plan for the nation of Israel. And all the different views of the relationship between the church and Israel is divided into two camps. Either the church is a continuation of Israel, which is replacement covenant theology, or the church is completely different and distinct from Israel, which is called dispensationalism or premillennialism. But that's all, folks. Sound like we're in a class of Harvard, don't it? When the first trumpet sounds, they're not going to give a hoot about supersessionism, dispensationalism. They're going to try to find a holism, right quickism, you see. They're going to run across all kinds of catechism. It's going to be isms everywhere. Replacement theology teaches the church is replacement for Israel. And you know the many promises made to Israel in the Bible fulfilled in the Christian church. That's where your Knights of Malta come in. They think that the Christians will be the lead in this new millennial. I got news for them. That ain't going to happen there, Joyner. Rick Boynton. Jerry Boynton. It's not going to happen. That's what these folks believe. So the prophecies in Scripture concerning the blessing and the restoration of Israel and that to the promised land are spiritualized, or what's the word, allegory? Adjective, allegorized. Is that what it's called? Into promises of God's blessing for the church. So, in other words, you're going to have major problems existing with this view. There are. First of all, there's a continuing existence of the Jewish people throughout the centuries, especially the revival of the modern state of Israel. That's a problem. They tried to target the Jews in 1885. It was a setup to lead into World War I to exterminate them. Now you know why. They want to get rid of the 144,000 of real, honest-to-goodness Jews. Hitler failed. So now, Cletus out here belongs to Christian Identity and other places. It's those Jews, man. The Jews control everything. I got Jews in my closet, Jews in my trunk. I got Jews under my bed. The Jews control my bank. The Jews control my internet. The Jews control everything. If God Jews is a butcher, everywhere I look, there's a Jew. That's what they think. Got to blame everything on the Jews. When the reality is the Italian and Germans control the Illuminati. You want the names? I can give them to you. Christian Identity is used for this brainwashing. Jews did this. Jews did that. Jews eat babies. The Jews, I don't know what. Everybody's got a Jew in the closet. I think it's quite silly. The Knights Templar, Irish, control the money. So they put the Jew names out front to give them the headline, so they'll be the ones targeted. That's what that little thing is all about. You ever talk to anybody like that? Man, they're so full of anti-Jew, it is coming out of their nose, man. It's frustrating. It's like you sit back and wonder, you want to pinch them and see if it's skin or plastic. If they're real, if they have some kind of a voice box or something. Like little Stedford anti-Jews. Truth of the matter is, choosing the Jews as targets goes a long time ago. Well, actually, back to Herod and Pharaoh's. Satan never stopped, did he? And even through the Colosseums of Caesar's, they couldn't kill him. Christians and Jews. By having the Jews picked as scapegoats and blamed as the authors and perpetrators of the international conspiracy that we're dealing with today, Illuminati felt certain that there would be a wave of anti-Semitism created in Russia and France that they, the directors Illuminati, could proceed with the rest of their plans for revolutions and wars without being suspected. Apparently it worked. That's only part of the plans of why they picked the Jews as the targets. Anti-Semitism created by Herzl, which was directed by the Vatican to liquidate Jewish wealth. That's where all this blame the Jews comes from. And you got really the anti-Jews or Jews called Synagogue of Satan against the Jews. Interesting stuff it is what's coming up. I'm not going to dwell on that, but if Israel had been condemned by God, there's no future for the Jewish nation, then how in the world do you explain the supernatural survival of the Jewish people over the past 2,000 years? And the many attempts to destroy them. It hadn't happened. Or Christians who followed Jesus. How do you explain why and how Israel reappeared as a nation in the 20th century after not existing for 1,900 years? It's not the biblical Jew or Jerusalem, but God allowed it to allow the root be set. You know, this view that Israel and the church are different is taught in the New Testament. Biblically speaking, the church is completely different and distinct from Israel. And these two were never to be confused or used interchangeably. It's not the same. Jews and Gentiles. Jews and church. Because you were taught from Scripture that the church is an entirely new creation. And this church came into being on the day of Pentecost, where two or more are gathered. Not Baptist, not Presbyterian, not Methodist, not Anabaptist, not Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or whatever. None of that. It's where two or more are gathered is his church. And the role of bringing his holy word to mankind fell upon the Gentiles. Why? Yeah, because the Jews failed. After Jacob, the 12 tribes went poof. 10 really did, and then two fought each other for over 200 years. And then they rejected him when he came. Then they destroyed Jerusalem. Hello. So then it fell upon the Gentiles to bring the word of God to mankind. And that will go on until the time of the Gentiles, until Jesus takes control of Jerusalem. And not before. That's why when they say, there's no J in the Jewish language. Well, sorry, Charlie, but y'all lost bringing the word to him. So Yeshua went to Greek, which was Gentiles, Isus, New Testament, not Old Testament, Torah. Jesus wasn't born then. Hello. See? So then it was written in Greek, Jesus, the name Yeshua in Hebrew, was written in Greek, Isus, and then when it was translated to English, the true word of God, the only true word of God, King James, that's where the J comes from. The J replaces the I in Greek, I, Isus, into Jesus. And when Jesus Christ takes the throne in Jerusalem for the 1,000-year millennium, the time of the Gentiles will be over. And mankind will go back to the old Hebrew. And you won't have to use Pilsner either. If God changed the languages at Babel, he can change it back again at the millennium. Y'all ever think about that? Because that's in the Scripture, by the way. Return to the old language. Ephesians 1. You know, I decided to talk about this 45 minutes ago. Ephesians 1, 9 to 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, and even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being, listen, predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. 1 Thessalonians 4. That's why they don't like the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's the ones in the grave, the body in the grave. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those in the grave will be brought up, and it's not so sleep. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We all come at the same time. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This is different than the seven trumpets, by the way. Not the same trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. They get first dibs. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord, just like Enoch was. Those that's dead will come up like Lazarus was raised up, and Jesus. But you won't die twice. You die once. The church has no relationship to the curses and blessings for Israel. The covenants and promises and warnings are valid only for Israel. Tithing, only for Israel. Sabbath, only for Israel. And the Sabbath was fulfilled by Jesus. I could end that discussion in about 30 minutes. The Sabbath is Jesus Christ. It's no Saturday. It's no Sunday. If y'all decide to meet on Sunday because you're not working, well, there's your Sabbath. It could be Monday, it could be Tuesday, it could be Wednesday, but whatever you want. The cheap preachers are taught to get you there on Sunday to get your money and to control you and teach you the humanistic way of religion. That's why they want you all there at one time. They got your children 8 days a week. Excuse me. 5 days a week. 8 hours a day. Now they got you every hour of every week on a Sunday. And if you're SDA, well, Saturday, we got you coming and going. Now give me your money. Be quiet. Where two or more gathered is a church. And your tithing is when God sends someone to you or he touches your heart. It doesn't have to be an old church. It can be wherever you want to. A lot of times the church is mismanaged anyway, as it's been proven. After the rapture, God will restore Israel to his primary focus of his plan. The first event this time is the tribulation. You'll find that in Revelations chapter 6 to 19. And the world will be judged. The world will be judged for rejecting Christ. Right now, Jesus is your intercessor. He's your self-elected lawyer for now. He's on your side for now. But, man, when that first trumpet blows, he's not on your side no more. He's judging you from what you've done and did, and, man, this is going to get ugly. Bad ugly. Terrible ugly. In that first trumpet, after the one blood moon, and the earth becomes dark. And we're not talking a little gray here. We're talking black. And we're not talking a pink moon. We're talking blood, scary red. I don't think people have any idea. And we're not talking a little shaking here where you're trying to drink your coffee and it spills out a little bit in the earthquake. I'm talking about one where you're going to be hugging the earth. And you're not going to be worried about FEMA camps or Agenda 21 or HAARP or any of that nonsense. And you're not going to have technology. It's gone. That's where the bows and arrows are going to come from. Because you're not going to have technology tanks and all that stuff. I don't think people realize that. And the world will be judged for rejecting Jesus Christ once again. Israel is prepared to the trials of great tribulation for the coming of the Messiah, the real one, not the fake Sananda coming or Yeshua coming here in the future of the externalization of the hierarchy. That's the second. That's the fake Christ that's coming. The false prophet is externalization of the hierarchy. Disclosure. So it comes together. Fake Jesus is coming. The fake Jesus, Sananda, is the one that you've been seeing all of our lives. Long-haired, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Caucasian white boy. That ain't Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has got dark, dark, dark skin. He ain't black and he ain't white. He's Middle Easterner. Short hair. Long hair is the hair of glory of the woman. So Jesus won't have long hair. So who we've been seeing all this time? Sananda Manuel, fallen angel, false prophet. That's who the church has been showing us all of our lives. It's the wrong Jesus. The churches will fall away when it sees this. Only those with faith and the Holy Spirit keeping them going, you have to stand firm. And it is not going to be easy because the churches will break away. When Christ does return to the earth at the end of the tribulation, Israel will be ready to receive him, to say the least. They'll be so happy too. Three quarters won't make it. The remnant of Israel, which survives the tribulation, will be saved. And they'll be mortals, and they'll replace the ones that's been killed. For 1,000 years will be a total human replacement. That's what that 1,000 years is all about. That's why they still have mortals here. Just like they had 8 after the flood. They'll have a large number replace the humankind. The immortals will be those in the raptured. Will return then after the marriage supper of the Lamb and judgment seat of Christ. Beginning of the millennium. To oversee the kingdoms then for 1,000 years. And with Christ this time reigning as king, Israel will be the leading nation this time. Representatives from all nations will then have to come to Jerusalem to honor and worship the king during a period of time. How are they going to do that? I don't know. Supernaturally, on boats, I don't know. That's God's business. God's got it in hand. He's the tour guide. I have no idea, and I'm not going to worry about it because I know he's got it in hand. He's God, and I'm not. That's his business. See, they know about this. That's why they have Mecca thing going on. You got to go to Mecca at least once in your lifetime and all that. All this fits together. The church will return with Christ, will reign with him for a literal 1,000 years. You'll find that in Revelation 20, verses 1 to 5. Hope you all getting all this, because I've covered a lot of ground here this evening. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, Satan, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Cast him to the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him. He should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This was the first resurrection. And that's when Gog and Magog happens after 1,000 years. There's three battles. World War III, Second Seal. Armageddon between the Antichrist and Jesus Christ. That's going to go badly. Armageddon. And the third was Gog and Magog. All this is yet to happen. They got to make it seem like it's already happened to bring in the false Messiah. Do you all see what's happening? If you don't, send me an email. I'll still explain it to you, but I'll go back over this. It's very important for you to know. So in other words, when you hear me ranting and raving about the seven Ashram rays, how Satan controls mankind, politics, religion, finance, philosophy, education, all these other ways, right? Science and so on. That won't be again. That won't happen. God will be the leader then. Jesus will lead in a different way. You'll still serve each other. And let me tell you something. Jesus don't have a Federal Reserve. And he's not going to bring with him heavenly UFOs that we can fly around like George Jetson. That ain't going to happen either. You're not going to have technology. How? Where's the technology going to come from? You're going to have a heavenly computer and Facebook? Not going to be there. You'll develop your talents and arts and work together and worship Jesus Christ, and then you'll live and love and whatever. But if you don't take Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. I don't know what else to tell you. That's not politically correct, but I just never been politically correct. Ain't no in-between here, Don't play around with this now. Mankind's stubborn. Make up their own religion. That ain't going to work. Rebellion is the name of mankind. Rebellion. And as long as you got a rebellious heart and a Jezebel spirit, man, you ain't going to make it. And those that think they're saved and said that sinner's prayer, that don't get it. You got to repent of your sin. That means let go of your pride and say, I have sinned. I have lied, cheated, adulterated, whatever it is you've done. You got to admit it to Jesus, not some preacher or pastor or rabbi or pope or cardinal or blue jay or I don't care what. They got their own problems. It's between you and Jesus, man. That's it. Between you and Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps him discern who's who. You can do it on your own, in your bedroom, on the side of the road, wherever. And anytime you sin from then on, born again, he'll convict you when you start sinning again. And that's a good thing. All this positive thinking is nonsense. Because the positive thinking is overriding the conviction that the Holy Spirit's given you. Because you sinned. He's letting you know it. It's like a parent says, you shouldn't have done that. You wait, your daddy gets home. Oh, I got to talk about that later, don't I? Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost forgot about that. And we all are having authority. I don't give a hoot who you are. Wife authority is a husband. Supposed to. Husband's authority of God is under God. It's his authority. We're under the authority of the government. Whether you like it or not, that's just the way it is. Because if you don't have the government, you got anarchy. You can't have it both ways. We don't like this tyrannical government. It's an illegal government. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So you're going to replace it with what? They don't have an answer for that one. None of them do. Okay, you're going to replace it. Come on now. Tell me. We got tyrannical government, and you, human, have the wisdom and knowledge. You can replace it with what and who and when. Human. This I got to see. Hillary, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, some other secret one they've got that's a sinless Democrat Republican. Hey, militia, who are you going to replace them with? Come on now. And you're going to replace the Knights of Malta, who are a bunch of murderers anyway. You're going to replace the government with them. And they're the ones doing the nasty stuff anyway. Where's your benevolent government that you can replace this tyrannical government with? This is so surreal. People can't be this dumb. Surely, gosh, they can't be. Oh, my Lordy mercy. The Old Testament, New Testament supports the premillennial dispensational understanding of God's plan for Israel. Did you get all that? The New Testament does support the premillennial dispensational, superlistic, supercalculistic understanding of God's plan for Israel. Supercalifragilistic, expialidocious. The Bible is going to come true. Any questions? You know, the strongest support for this premillennialism is found in teachings of Revelation 21-7. And there it says six times that Christ's kingdom will last 1,000 years. And after the tribulation, the Lord will return, 7 years tribulation, establish his kingdom with the nation of Israel. Not America. Not Luxembourg. Not Taiwan. And after the tribulation, the Lord will return. It'll be Israel, family. It'll be Israel. Christ will reign over the whole earth. Israel will be a leader in the nations. And the church will reign with him for 1,000 years. Church has not replaced Israel in God's plan. And these white boys better get it out of their minds. And I'm a white boy. I'm a southern Protestant, Irish, Scottish, part Cherokee, Americano. That likes biscuits and gravy. I don't have no problem with that at all. Because that's God's plan. You white boys out there have a problem with it, you better find you a really mighty fast rowboat. Because you got a lot of places to get out of here then. Maybe you find yourself a little old island somewhere. Y'all can play white supremacist all you want. I don't think it's going to last long either. You know, God may be focusing his attention primarily on the church in this dispensation of grace. God's not forgotten Israel at all. And because he loves Israel, he's going to clean it out and bring the real Jews back in. And one day, he'll restore Israel to its intended role as a nation he has chosen from the day one in Romans 11. And will be by no help of man. Because already planned out anyway. You know, the preterists, Calvinists, and so forth, believe that most all prophecies come true. Big problem with that, bub. Because believing this prophecy is already completely fulfilled, either literally or allegorically, and with the expected return of Christ, as I said before, it makes perfect candidates for believing the deception of the real Antichrist and accepting him as Messiah because they believe the Antichrist has come and gone. You see, that's what they're setting us up for. So who conquered Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophecy? And from where did they come from then? See, the preterists teach that the prophecy was fulfilled in the year 70 A.D. Really? Satan must have come and gone and went. The tribulations must have happened, and we all slept through it, or history just completely bypassed it. And this is when the Roman general Titus and his Roman army conquered Jerusalem. There's a problem with that, though. Rome is to be the west of Jerusalem. Revelation 16:12 now states that the Euphrates was dried up so the kings of the east could be prepared to make war against Jerusalem in the Battle of Armageddon. Problem there. Preterism falls flat. So that's why you hear the push. The Euphrates is driven up badly. The Euphrates is dry. Dry as a bone. They're going to try the best they can to close all the gaps with these fake prophets and fake preachers to get you to believe what I just told you, that it's all done. This is where I've been ranting and raving about the dead fish, dead birds, and dead cows, and you got Red River in the Pakistan, there you go. You got these hailstones this big, there you go. They're doing everything. It's pathetic, actually. Satan loves to confuse and divide Christians, though. Christians not to be confused with Christianity. Christians who follow Jesus. Not Christians who follow Christianity, but there's a big difference. The fact that most Christians don't read the Bible opens up the doors, and the Bibles they do read are corrupted. NIV, NASB, New King James Bible, all of them are purposely corrupted, as evidence can confirm. And the evidence is clear. You know what the evidence is? Bible verses are gone. They removed the Bible verses and replaced it with nothing. Now, how a theologian can argue that the Bibles are the same, I have yet to understand. When the Bible verses are gone, 200 to 300 of them are missing out of the other Bibles. Didn't even bother to renumber them. You can't, that's impossible to argue against. It's like trying to argue that your chicken laid eggs. When you go to the nest, you look and they're not there. You still argue that they are, and somebody slips golf balls there. Come on now. These aren't eggs. These are golf balls. See there? There are no eggs there. But they are. They're not there. Look. And he still says there are. It's the same thing. It's nuts. No golf balls. Family, this is getting nutty. You know, it really is. The word is your armor. Arm yourselves, lest you be fooled. 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Move right along. Family, remind you all that my broadcast is played up in highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. Under John Kirkler. Highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He plays my broadcast and Bible studies randomly. on his network in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania on his network there on the computer. And you can find his sponsors and use his sponsors if you live in those areas. Otherwise, contact him, maybe give him, you know, some money for donations. He does pay his bills. What I mean is he has bills that operate in like towers. I mean, actually real towers. Me, I got computers. That's all I got. You know, I pay money myself. I don't ask for anything. I don't want anything. Don't give me nothing. But he does have, you know, like towers. It's way up there, high stuff going on. So, you know, give a hand. For me, he just plays my broadcasts and Bible studies. And for me, it's appreciation that he does that. I do want to let y'all know something. You might want to keep this in the back of your mind. And this is not biblical. But it's based on their knowledge of alchemy. That's what they are told, what they're preparing, and how they convince their followers to believe in this nonsense. What they're told in the year 2012, 2014, 2015, 2038, and 2075 are key years. And they say, and I've looked it up and it's true from their teaching and their festivals and their tarot card reading festivals, I don't know, whatever else. But anyway, they tell them that the year 2015 is the year 3 of the new earth. I said, okay, all right. So I went looking up New Earth. Oh, it's all over the place. Well, it's called New Earth. I said, oh, it's real. So they really believe this nonsense. But it's lectures they give and all kinds of high-speed events and so forth. And they say, quote, all these are coded holographic events. So now they say that it'll begin in the year 2015 on the total solar eclipse. So that's where the veil, which is true, between the second heaven and first heaven is the thinnest to allow demonic possession or entrance of the black hole thing going on, whatever. I'm not going to get into the alchemy right now. But it'll begin in 2015 on the total solar eclipse occurring on the new moon of the March equinox. It will be in full force through June solstice. March, April, May, June. In other words, they're going to kill a whole lot of people between now and then to try to get this alchemy and this demonic entities back and forth and all this. It's going to get ugly. But this is the upshift, they say, of DNA. Not only into the 12 active strands, but also the important transition from carbon-based physical bodies, human, into lighter crystalline silicon-based forms, gods, for higher dimension of 5th through 12th expansion. What a load of crap. But anyway, what they're telling me is, this is when your human bodies, made out of carbon, will shift into becoming like gods. So y'all be good little New Agers and do what we tell you to do kind of thing. What they're not telling me is this. The truth of it is, when they start their meditations and all that nonsense and killing, they'll become demonically possessed. And that demonic possessed individual will have that esoteric feeling, thinking it's him. It's not. It's a demon inside. For us, it's called simple possession. It's what the drugs are all about. It's what the meditation and yoga is all about, to let the demon come inside the individual. It's what kundalini and speaking in tongues and all this is about. Open up that portal. See how they cover over it with crystalline silicon-based forms? It's a fancy way of saying you're going to be possessed by a demon that wants your body. That's what's really going on. So they'll do the meditation. Open up the portals. Things are getting ready to happen. If God allows it. It's all depending on what God allows, not them. And what allows that is the great falling away and the man of sin revealed. And the gospel spread throughout the four corners of the world. That's what the only dependence is upon. Not anything else that they do or whatever. Because your Savior's in control. Not them. Family, let's close in prayer. And I want to thank you all for coming by. And if any comments or you think of any other add-ons to what I've said tonight or something that you want to add to it or discuss or whatever, let me know. Lord, thank you tonight for letting us come together. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Father, lift up to you our worship, our Bible studies. Lord, touch our hearts, give us patience, guidance through that Holy Spirit. Protect us through the healing and the attacks that's coming with the blood of Jesus. Father, use us in your service as we spread gospel through the ways that you've used for us, led the way. We pray for our families. We pray for veterans, Lord, that's being targeted specifically. We pray for children that's being trafficked. And Father, children that's being used for these sacrifices, Lord, to protect them. Lord, to bring them home to your bosom. Father, to give comfort to families that's missing their children. Comfort to families that's missing their veterans. And Father, those that are being attacked, to protect them, Lord. We see today things happening. Father, we pray that you'll touch with your Holy Spirit. Keep us strong and prepared and ready to do thy will. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you all for coming. And then we'll see you all. Come back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, hitting the ground running. We'll see where we head on this tomorrow. Another adventure, I guess. Have a good night and God bless. This is Thomas Gamble. I'm your host. And I'm your watchman. And I'm signing off. And good night. Whoa. Did that woke you up?